So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This verse begins with these three words, and without controversy. There are many things, aren't there, that we can debate about: future subjects, prophecy, and so on, and a whole range of theological subjects. There must be no controversy. In fact, according to the Word of God, there is no controversy. In other words, if you disagree with this statement, you are not a Christian. In fact, you are not of God. You are not of the Spirit of God. In fact, you do not know Him. There can be no disagreement for every true believer. And again, as we come as true believers to the worship of God this morning, we're not coming to talk about God. We're not coming to, again, just have a form of words. We're coming to commune with that God. In fact, as the Lord's table is the communion, the fellowship, the koinonia, as we gather around the table of the Lord once again this morning, we do so because we know there is no controversy regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. We do not debate. We declare. We declare this truth. We proclaim this truth rather than question it. The multitude, not only will, in fact, they won't even question it, they don't really care about it. And that's the sad reality at a time like this. Someone said, this is a thing which no man can or ought to dispute about. It is great, this mystery of godliness. Notice three words, the three key words: great, mystery, and godliness. The word great is the word mega, from which we get the word mega. This is a great thing. This is a mega thing. This is the most wonderful thing. There is nothing bigger than the coming of the Savior into the world. God manifest in the flesh. That is the mega thing, isn't it? That is the greatest of all things. There are many religions, but there's only one God. There are many philosophies, but there is only one truth. There is only one gospel. And it is great. But then the other word is mystery. Great is the mystery. Something that is secret or something that is deep to be revealed. And of course, the prophecies of the Old Testament, and as they are written, some of them that we read, they weren't understood. They weren't comprehended. But a time would come when they would be understood, when they would be revealed. And then there is the word godliness. We don't come here this morning to be religious. We want to know God. Or do we? Do you? Do you come here this morning for more than just a religious experience? Or as we said, just to unburden your conscience. Just so I can go home and then, do things, that I want to do. Or am I coming here this morning to know this great mystery of godliness. To know this God who is great. To know this God who has revealed these great mysteries to us. To know this God who declares that we worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I was saying to someone before the beginning of the service, and this is by way of confession, I often find this time of year a difficult time of year. I would nearly sometimes use the word dark, and I don't want to be dark in a and I don't want to be a killjoy. But there's very little of real spirituality displayed this time of year, isn't there? Very little of godliness, very little of something that we could call great. But we do want to know the great mystery of godliness, don't we? We do want to know this one who came into the world to save his people. That's why we're here. Because we want more than just platitudes. We want more than just to read the right portions of Scripture for a certain time of the year. We want to know this one that has been revealed, that has been manifest for our sake and for our salvation. There's a number of statements made about the Lord Jesus Christ in this one verse. The first one is, it is mega. It is great. It is that God was manifest in the flesh. God revealed. He was much more than a prophet. Much more than just somebody who spoke great words. This is God. Nothing less than God revealed. God manifest. John could say, we beheld His glory. We saw it. It broke through. There was times, as Peter said, on the holy mount when the glory shined through and we saw it. We saw the glory of God manifested in the flesh. Contrast that with a silly man with a red coat, dressed up with a false beard. What a contrast. God manifest in the flesh. No pretense. There's no pretense in the life of Christ. Not coming to make us feel better, but to save our souls. Not coming to give us presence, but to give us the gift of eternal life. This is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus said to the Jews in condemnation, you come to me for bread. You come to me for things, for your stomach, when I could give you everlasting life. God manifest in the flesh. Only happened one time. It only needed to happen one time. Because in that one short life, we live in a day when so many want to extend their lives, live as long as possible. The Lord Jesus Christ had a very short life, but in that one life, all was done, all that was needed for our salvation was done. God manifest in the flesh. In fact, on the cross, in a few hours, the infinite, the eternal, unchangeable God, in a few hours could pay the price for our sins that should have been rewarded with everlasting judgment. Yes, more than a prophet. In fact, the Lord Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was more than a prophet. And John the Baptist said of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was not worthy even to unloose his sandals. God manifest in the flesh. Do we believe that? I have to assume that some of you don't really believe it. I have to assume that. I cannot assume that all of you are true children of God. That you've yet to come to the point of really grasping this truth. That the eternal God became man. For the salvation of his people. And we're Calvinists, aren't we? It's for the salvation of his elect. It's not just to make the world a better place. He came for the salvation of his people. The only ones that can truly rejoice are his people. God manifest in the flesh. You see, and we'll come back to this in a few minutes again, but let me just emphasize this now. Believing that the Lord Jesus Christ was born does not save your soul. Even believing that he died on a cross does not save your soul. Even believing that he died for you on the cross does not save your soul. It is faith in the person of Christ, who he was, that saves your soul. You need to understand that. As I said to you before, Pontius Pilate believed that Jesus died on the cross, didn't he? Well, that didn't save him. It's, as Romans 10 tells us, if you believe that God raised him from the dead and that he is the Son of God, you shall be saved. God manifest in the flesh. It's who he is. Who he is, and then what he has done that saves us. Secondly, justified in the Spirit, or it could be translated justified by the Spirit. So it's who he was in the first point. Now, how do we know? The Spirit of God declared him to be the Son of God. He descended on him in his baptism. The heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended on in the form of a dove and came upon the Lord Jesus Christ to show the Baptist who this one was. The Holy Spirit in John 16 verses 8 and 9 comes to convince the world of sin. What? Because they did not believe on him. The Spirit convicts the world of not believing. Condemns the world of not believing on him. People are shocked that we always told our children from a young age that this fiction that people teach at this time of year is not true. People are shocked at that. People would not be shocked if we told the same people, well, we've never told them that Jesus is the Son of God. And yet the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world because it does not believe on him. That's the issue. The issue between you and your God this day is, what is your relationship to his Son? What is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you trust your soul upon him? Do you believe on him? as you come to the Lord's table this morning, are you having fellowship with the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you? In Matthew 12:28, the Savior casts out devils by the Holy Spirit. If I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is among you. In John 3:34, the Spirit given to him without measure. We feel the measure, don't we? Sometimes we come here this morning and we feel the measure. We feel that we are not filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God was given to him without measure. The infinite Spirit given infinitely to the Son of God. You see, it's not about us, is it? It's about him. Let the angels of God worship him. What more evidence do we need that this is God manifest in the flesh? The Spirit sent down in Acts 2 as Peter preaches, and according to the promise of Christ in the upper room discourse, that this Spirit would come and it falls upon the people. It falls upon them in great power, like tongues of fire from heaven. And the Spirit is doing this to show that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is Lord. All the manifestations of the Spirit of God to show who he is. Justified in the Spirit. Now the third statement is seen of angels. Not just that angels have viewed him, but that upon him the angels fix their gaze. In all glory, they're not looking at tinsel. They're not looking at trinkets. They're not looking at anything but him. They are beholding him. They are gathered around his throne, worshiping him, because he is worthy. He is worthy. As Hebrews tells us, 1 verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings his first begotten into the world, he saith, let every single angel in glory do what? Worship him. Every single created being. And dear friends, if we will not worship him, we are devils. We are not angels. Of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The Father calling the Son God. And that's why when it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven, it's with his mighty angels. They belong to him. He made them. He made them for his own glory, for his own worship. And then, fourthly, preached unto the Gentiles. Because of everything that's gone before is why we must preach him. We must preach him. We must declare him not just another religion, not just a set of doctrines. No, we preach Christ. We proclaim Christ. In all our preaching, it must be Christ that we proclaim. Because if he be lifted up, he will draw all his people to himself. And that's why the church greatly suffered when it turns to intellectualism, when it turns to cold doctrine. Doctrine devoid of the spirit-filled person of Christ. We fail to proclaim him, to worship him. Speaking of Jesus, and may it be so this morning that as we gather around the table of the Lord, that our hearts will burn within us. Oh Lord, may it be so that our hearts will burn within us, so that we have not come to be lectured to, but to meet with God, to see Jesus. Some pulpits have on the back of them that phrase, "Sirs, we will see Jesus." And may that be so. See him in the Word. Hear him in the Word. Love him in the Word. Worship him as the angels of heaven. Oh, may we always be a church and a people that will proclaim him, that will preach him. Because he was preached to the Gentiles, we have various nations here. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we are here. Because he was preached to the Gentiles. Where would we be without this? Where would we be without the proclamation of the gospel? And then fifthly, believed on in the world. As he alone is to be preached, he alone is to be believed upon. In fact, at the beginning of the Upper Room Discourse in John 14, verse 1, the Lord Jesus says, "You believe in God, believe also with the same faith that you have in God. Believe in me." No prophet, no mere prophet could say that. Doesn't matter how godly, doesn't matter how holy, we're only called to believe in the living God, to trust in the living God. And again, it's not belief in the historical facts of his life, but belief in his person. In himself, God manifest in the flesh that saves your soul. Do you know him? I'm not asking you, are you a member of a church? I'm not asking you, are you accepted by everyone else in this room as a Christian? Do you know him? Do you know this one? Do you trust in this one? Believed on in the world. Dear friends, brethren, if he is worshipped in glory, the least that is to be expected is that he's believed upon in the world. He is worshipped in heaven. He's despised in hell. He must be believed on in the world, because it's either heaven or hell, isn't it? Either you will everlastingly worship him in glory, or forever despise him in hell? Which is it? There is no middle ground. There is no in between. We can hide behind much. We can hide even behind a pulpit, can't we? We can dress respectable. We can speak well. But do we know him? Do we trust him? Do we love him? And then lastly, received up into glory. I was talking yesterday, you know, about a lot of, you know, famous people in the world who, for a time, they are very popular. They're almost worshipped. In fact, they probably are. But then many of them, their lives end dreadfully. Think of pop stars, think of movie stars, and their lives, for a time, there's great fame, there's lights, there's everything, but then at the end, there's ignominy, not glory. Christ's life received up into glory. What a fitting conclusion to the greatest life ever lived. What a fitting conclusion. Because he is worthy, isn't he? He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our preaching. He's worthy of our love. And he's worthy of the worship of heaven, and therefore the gates of heaven open and the whole host of heaven receive him as the Lord of glory. Crucified by the world. Worshipped by heaven. And as he received up into glory, at the end of Luke 24, we read these words. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. He was parted from them. And yet he was not. Because they worshipped him with great joy. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, may we know this joy. May we know this joy. And may the Lord enable us, through all our weakness and sinfulness and through all our failings, as God was manifest in the flesh, may Christ be manifest in us. Because we are his body. And if God is manifest in the flesh, and we are his body, God is to be manifest. Not in the same sense, of course. Of course. But there is to be a manifestation of that glory in his body. Because as we come to remember the body of Christ, we come, as Luther could say, we come as the body of Christ. The bread is the body of Christ in a similar sense as we are the body of Christ. Not literally, but in representation, in relationship, in fellowship with Christ. May we partake of this bread and this wine, not as distant partakers, but as those who feed upon him, as those who feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Let us sing from Psalm 72 and verses 17 to 19. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. His name forever shall endure last, like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him and blessed. All nations shall him call. Now blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel, for he alone doth wondrous works in glory that excel. Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19. Let's stand to sing.
His name forever shall endure, blessed like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him and blessed all nations.
Father, we bless, we worship the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we pray that as a congregation of thy people, we would know that glorious joy that comes from knowing him who is very God and for our sakes became very man to bring us to where he is. We bless his name. We worship the Son of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.